Good afternoon, everybody.
Yeah, heard you on the radio though.
Oh, didn't know anyone listened.
Did a great job.
Oh, thanks, brother. Appreciate you, man.
I did.
So, DeAndre Hopkins was having a huge game midway through the third quarter, and then was held to, I think, 5 yards from that point on. Can you just talk about what you did, the adjustments you made from that point forward?
Yeah. I've said it a couple times. I'll go through it again, though. But in the first half, with DeAndre Hopkins, he had 7 catches for 91 yards. 2 of his catches for about 50 yards were when we had him double covered. One of them was the 3rd and 15, where he made that circus catch on the sideline. The second one came in that 2-minute drive, T.J. Yates' first drive, which was that 2-minute sequence. So we went in the locker room to evaluate where we stood as a defense, see what kind of adjustments we needed to make, and he had 2 catches for about 50 yards on when he was doubled, and 5 catches for about 45 when in our normal 3 deep. So we felt really good about where we were at halftime with regards to Hopkins. Made a couple of really good circus catches and double coverage. Still felt good about the plan. Came out in the second half, which was TJ's first real drive, and it was very clear to us once that drive was over, and probably to the entire world, that they were force feeding DeAndre the ball, which they did a great job of. So we were able to get to the sideline, make the adjustment we needed, and from there he had 1 catch, which was the screen for the rest of the game that led to Adrian Colbert was able to force out. So the way it happened, the sequence of events with the change of quarterback, going into the locker room, I wish we could have got it to it earlier, but it was a situation where we needed to get to the sideline to regroup and talk about exactly what they were doing with the guys. Got the necessary coverage adjustment that we needed, and then from there we felt really good about the way we played him the rest of the way.
Greg Maven said you guys threw a variety of different things at him. One of them that I noticed was the nickelback was kind of shaded over there. In that case, was there any vulnerability that you were worried about them kind of counter-exploiting?
There was. The way we cheated over, we thought we were sacrificing a little bit in the run game, obviously. Anytime you a player garners extra attention, you're going to sacrifice run game, taking a half a hat out of the box. And so that's kind of what we did, and they just, they didn't. By the time it was recognized, our offense had generated a lead, which was awesome, and they didn't have time to make their adjustment.
So I guess that's a good, great example then of your offense helping you and giving you guys downhill.
No doubt. Offense has been unbelievable for the last 5-6 weeks or whatever it's been, so it's been awesome.
Speaking of the run game, how have you guys progressed from the beginning of the season? Are you happy with where the run game is right now?
Defensively,
yes,
for sure. We felt good throughout the entire year. There was a couple lame ducks in there. The Dallas game still punches me in the stomach, but punches all of us really. But overall, just the overall structure of the defense and the way we've been playing, we don't feel like we've been schemed at all from a run game standpoint. We feel like we've been very sound, and it's been progressing. And the yards per carry has remained constant. We feel really good about where we are from a yards per carry stat, if you want to give it that. But overall, we're holding teams down in overall rushing yards, but that's also contributed to the way our offense is playing, able to get us a lead, keep us in the game. And they've been, it's all team ball. And it's, like I said, I'll go back to the way those guys are playing too. It's been great.
3.9, is that what you want?
Anything under 4 is really good football in this league. If you're under 4 yards a carry throughout the history of this league, well, I shouldn't say history, but recent history anyway, you should be in the top 10.
So you haven't been schemed in the run game. Can you explain that?
Well, there's teams are throwing a lot of different things at us in the run game, and we feel really good about the way our guys are recognizing different schemes. So they haven't been able to get us into a position where we're just not really sure what the fit is or whatever our responsibility is. So we feel very sound with the way the players have been executing the defense. This week is going to be a really great challenge. So
speaking of this week, just can you talk about how they use Henry and Murray and Mariota all together?
Yeah, they have a large, probably the biggest run game playbook I've ever seen on tape. So they come at you many different ways, and it's going to be a great game with regards to locking in on your keys and trusting your fundamentals. being great with your eyes and understanding your responsibility. This is going to be a very sound, got to be very sound, fundamentally sound and structured on defense to ensure that your gap integrity is in good shape.
When you first talked to us in the offseason, you said we're going to stop the run. Those of us that saw last year's team were like, I don't know about that. Did you have that confidence? And if so, kind of what gave you that confidence?
You know, the whole mindset, and the players have been fantastic with the whole thing too. It's the whole mindset of our scheme is to eliminate something first, and obviously the run. If you can stop the run, you can get after the passer, and to try to get teams to being one dimensional. So the first thing you do in the scheme is to stop the run. Everything is designed to stop the run, and since I've been blessed to be a part of the scheme, however many years ago, we've always had a very successful run defense. So just the way the scheme is built, the philosophy behind it, the detail at which we go over run fits and gap integrity, felt very confident that we'd be able to improve in the run game.
Gates escaped. He was on third down. Was the goal to have one side overloaded and you just get to him before he can escape, or was there a misalignment there?
You know what? The 2 minute situation, third and five. It wasn't overload. We needed to get one more player to cross face, take care of that wide open B gap. TJ is obviously a much better scrambler than Tom Savage is, and he caught us. It was a good play by him. Not the best execution on our part.
The Titans have the biggest run game you've seen on tape. What all is it?
Anything from gap pull to zone read to just normal bounce schemes. They shift you, they motion you, they do everything they can to get you out of your gap and to get you confused on what your responsibility is. So for us, repping all that stuff and being sound is going to be the challenge.
And defensive ends and defensive linemen, you've made guys inactive and you switch those guys up at the bottom of the depth chart on the active 46 with Aaron and Ledger and those guys. How do you make that decision each week? And is it about evaluating for next year, or is it about the matchups? How do you go through that?
It's a discussion. It's always first and foremost. It's always starts with the opponent and what they do best. Whether we need to get big or small or is the first thing. Whether run game, pass game. With regards to the overall roster, we feel good where it's at with the D-line. It's unfortunate there are some healthy scratches in there that deserve to be playing, like love what Ronnie Blair's doing, and not having him up was more of let's get Aaron and Tank out there to see what they can do. Same thing with Deuce. So just giving people opportunity to go out there and put tape on, they're deserving, they work their tails off. So sometimes it's just a matter of guys are working really hard and they deserve an opportunity to play. And what's cool about this team and where it's going is that it's becoming a very selfless team in regards to those D linemen are all really pulling for each other. So, yeah, I'm sure a guy like DJ Jones is frustrated that he can't be active, but he's pulling for the guys who are active and vice versa. Duzable not being up last week is pulling for Lynch and Tank to do very well. So that part with that D line and having each other's back, that part's cool. And that's really what it's coming down to is that there are some healthy scratches that can be on the football field, but again, it's giving guys opportunities to play who deserve it with their practice habits.
It's like Defoe can't get a break so many times this year, and then he gets the sack, but it's grounding, you don't get the sack. Is that a bizarre rule?
You know what? We talked about it on the plane that they need to change that rule to intentional grounding is a sack plus 5 yards, but it's an offensive league, so I don't know if we'll ever get it.
You know, Coach Marquise Goodwin, but you watch him from your perspective as a defensive coordinator. How does he threaten the defense, and how is he becoming more of a multidimensional threat this year?
Just from the outside looking in, it looks like he's done a great job improving week to week. I think Mike LaFleur is a heck of a football coach, and he's doing a great job with that group. And the one thing Marquise Goodwin does is he scares the living daylights out of you with regards to explosive plays. So he's earned the a big cushion. He's earned space just by the nature of the way he gets off the ball and the speed, and his ability to run routes the way he does and stop on a dime and the precision at which he's running. Mikey shows me some of his routes every Monday, and it's pretty cool to see how much he's progressed over the course of the year, and he's got a chance to be pretty darn good.
You guys, over the last 4 weeks, have allowed fewer than 300 yards of offense on average. Is that, how much of that do you attribute to Ruben getting in the rhythm of things and being able to build off his playing time? And what else factors into that, do you think?
There's a lot of things. Ruben, obviously, he does help. I mean, he's a special talent. Glad we have him. The injury bug is kind of settled down on defense, and so those guys have been able to stack together practices and weeks, and they're starting to understand and play off each other and communicate and all those different things that are so critical to the success of the defense. But I also don't want to diminish what the offense has been able to do over that same time frame, these last six games, where they've been doing a great job. That it, on the sideline, the energy that's being fed to the defense and the urgency that they feel the need to get the offense the ball, and it's verbalized by those guys. So it's that part's you're starting to see the team kind of rally around each other. Even if the offense is in a lull, the defense just, they're at a point where they just feel if they get it to them enough, they're going to start moving it down, up and down the field, and you kind of saw that in the Houston game. Offense started out a little bit slow. We started out pretty quick. Then the offense started to pick it up a little bit. We gave up those back-to-back touchdowns. But the overall sentiment was keep getting them the ball. And they're getting hot, keep getting them the ball. And they got hot, and we were able to kind of blow it open in the second half.
So some of the defensive guys yesterday talked about Jimmy's pregame pep talk and talking about playing with violence. So have you seen a quarterback give any sort of pep talk similar to that?
You know what? I've never, I never listened to the pregame pep talk, but it's good. Extreme violence, man. It's everything. it is cool. It is. It's part of our deal, right? Extreme violence, tacking the ball. So, he's been great, and the guy's, you know, he's one of the guys. He's just from, like I said, in my little cocoon of defense. Feels like the guys are rallying around him.
How does Tennessee use Delaney Walker to stress out defenses?
Delaney is a weapon. He does. They use him a lot of different ways, but he's definitely a focal point of their offense and something that and a guy that we have to deal with, as well as the other guys with DeMarco Murray and Henry and all that. So, but again, it's just it's a challenge for us that I feel like our guys are ready. You know, like I said, the way they're starting to understand our three deep concepts and our fundamentals, I feel really good about our ability to go execute.
And you mentioned on the call that you thought that Ruben on him might be a mismatch. What would your reaction to that be?
He's supposed to think that way. You know, I don't know if he wants to.
Is Ruben supposed to think that way?
Ruben should think he should always, no doubt. I mean, if a player ever says that, oh God, I think I got my hands full, I'd question what that player's thinking. But I would expect Ruben to think that he can get after Delaney, and I would expect Delaney to think that he can get after Ruben. So that's what makes these guys tick. They think they're invincible. They think they're unstoppable, and that's why they're special.
Couple more.
Is Dante Johnson still a starter?
Dante?
Yeah.
He's working through the week. He's working. Him and Maben are working through through practice. They're both going to play a lot of football. I have not lost faith in Dante. That whole sequence, when you go through a drive like that, the thought process behind that whole sequence with Dante is just give him a breather. Give him something. Just relax, calm down, you'll be fine. And the intent was to get him back in, but then Akello got hurt. So either way, he was going to go back into the game. So it was not a benching more than it was a breather. But Maben is one of those guys who's been working his tail off in practice, and it goes from D-line, linebacker, and DBs. Work hard in practice, and you're going to get rewarded with some playing time and an opportunity to go put some tape forward. And so Maben's been doing a great job. So if you see him on the field, it's not an indictment on what Dante Johnson's been doing as much as it is what Maben's been able to do in practice and giving him a chance to go put some tape on.
Did you get a sense that for guys like Earl Mitchell and D'Amico Ryans that going back and getting that win in Houston?
Heck yeah. That's something for me too, being there 6 years. But D'Amico, for sure. Scanina, he was there. Johnny Holland, all those guys. So Jay Bird, I mean, our equipment guys. So there's a lot of people who have ties to Houston that it meant a lot to. And Earl getting that big fourth and one stop, that was a freaking awesome moment for him. D'Amico going back, like you mentioned. So there's a lot of people that meant a lot to. So it was great to get the win down there.
You've gotten more than a few weeks of tape on him in the new role. Before the injury, how would you assess Akello taking on the number one cornerback?
You know what? That came up, whether or not we won the match, Akello. I thought when DeAndre was over there on Akello, I thought Akello did a very, very good job. There's a couple of plays I'm sure he wishes he had back, but I thought he had great poise. He showed great physicality at the line, was able to run and break down and transition with him. So, and be able to maintain that, maintain his phase with the receiver so he could always keep his eyes on the quarterback. So if they did throw it his way, he could play the ball instead of the receiver. So he showed up really well. So we have no worries about Akello versus any receiver in this league. I think he'll do a very good job on anyone.
He did make a couple of big tackles too. At Colorado, they didn't throw the ball in very much. He didn't really get to see his tackling. Has his ability to perform in that area surprised you or met your expectations this year?
I'm not surprised by Akello's ability to tackle. Felt like he displayed some toughness in college. It just being able to have, and we've talked about it with him, having a plan on how to tackle the right way. It doesn't matter how big you are, you can be a physical football player. And so he's really taken to our tackling style, and because of it, he's really, really improved in that regard. And at times, I mean, he looks as violent as a linebacker. So it's cool to see him progress, for sure.
Mariota, these last four games, have you seen anything why he's more prone to interceptions, whether it's pass rush or scheme?
You know what? A lot of times there's tip balls for Mariota. He's been unlucky. I'm not behind. I'm not in their meetings to know whether or not a receiver busted a route or not. Having gone against Mariota in the past at Jacksonville, he's a very talented quarterback, and I know we, as a defense, we're going to have our hands full, and we're excited for the challenge.